We run the desert podcast.
I like that.
We run the desert podcast. We run the desert.
Guys, it's We Run the Desert.
Yeah, that's perfect. All right. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of We Run the Desert. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jeremy. Today we are joined by Tom from Long Run Coffee, all the way from Chicago. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks so much for joining to share your story. We love talking about coffee. I think
we love coffee.
Chris, Eve, and myself, we drink probably too much than the recommended amount, but
no such thing.
But you know, we want to get into a little bit more about like your brand and why it's targeted for runners and why it's great for runners. But first, we want to get to know a little bit more about you. I know you just ran the Chicago Marathon, correct?
I did. You're right. And thanks for having me on. I'm a relatively new member of the We Run the Desert community, so I'm still getting the feel for everything. I gotta ask, where's the third host here?
Eve unfortunately cannot join us today. She was pulling mom duty.
Yeah, she's got kid shit going on today. Yeah.
She was all over the valley, I think soccer practice or one of those, but yeah, she's you know,
Mama.
Yep.
Absolutely. Duty calls. Yes. Do you all live in a similar area?
We're spread across the valley a little bit.
Probably not farther than what, like a half hour?
Yeah, about 30 minutes from each other. Like literally, I'm 30 minutes from Eve, and then Chris is 30 minutes from me. So we're good. The valley is, if you've ever been in the area, you know, the Phoenix metro area is great, but we are spread, all the cities are spread out from like 30 to almost an hour across from each other.
No, I've never been out there, at least not for an extended period of time. I've visited, you know, I don't know, I guess areas around where you guys are, but you know, not that particular area. I will say next year we're going to Cocodona. I am so excited. Nice. I know that's kind of in your neck of the woods.
That is.
And I don't take it either of you have run that by chance.
No, neither of us have ran. You know, Chris and Eve have been out there pacing and crewing and everything for multiple different runners, but we have not ran that yet.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to. We're essentially just on coffee detail. Super nice. Excited, looking forward to that. Yeah, I've heard really great things about the race in general, and it lasts for what, 5 days?
Yeah, it's fine.
So it's pretty easy for anyone to just kind of come out and spectate some part of it. It's not like you got to be up all night for 5 days. Well, maybe you do. I don't know.
If you do, at least you got good coffee. So we're glad you're going to be there.
It's perfect.
Yeah, right.
How was the Chicago Marathon, by the way?
The Chicago Marathon was pretty good. The weather was absolutely ideal. I'm personally someone who really appreciates warm weather. I think I might be in a little bit of a minority there. Like I would prefer 75 and sunny. But you know, in a general sense, it was great. No rain. What more can you ask for? And it was the first time I had actually run the Chicago Marathon, despite having lived here for a while, and the energy was great. And that's, I'm sure, what pretty much everyone who runs the marathon will tell you. I think that's probably the biggest event I'll do for a while. I think it's tough to get any bigger than that, frankly.
Oh yeah. And I've heard great things about it. I've never run Chicago Marathon myself, but I know a lot of people who have, a lot of local runners even who go out there and run it. And heard great things for sure. It's a massive road event. But in regards to warm weather, you would love Arizona running from like November maybe to
March.
Yeah. but then it gets a little way warmer than 75 degrees.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's tough. I'm all for even warmer than that, which the West and the South, there's an appeal there for me. I'm not big into the cold, which is funny. I grew up in Wisconsin, live in Chicago now. It gets cold. It is not, yeah. Winter running is not ideal here, but I hate treadmills even more. So We do it anyway.
And by the way, and this is just a random tangent because that's what we do when we run the desert. Is that how you know Tommy from Bigger Than the Trail?
Not really. I just kind of got connected with Tommy as I was growing my own involvement with the ultra community. I'm well aware of Bigger Than the Trail, and I reached out to him and said, I just love the brand. I really want to work with you guys in some capacity. And he was like, sure. It was a pretty easy connection to make. I'm actually not sure where he's from specifically, but they've got a pretty big presence in the Midwest for sure.
Yeah. I knew he's out there in the Midwest.
He's in Wisconsin.
I thought he was in Wisconsin. Yeah. And that's why I just made that connection. But, no, that's awesome. It was a fun side note. I was like, oh, maybe you happen to know him, but even better that you guys just, you know, talked online. So that's great. That's how we met as well. backing up a little bit, well before Chicago, I know that you were sharing with me that essentially your first race was a full marathon.
Yeah, that is right. So a little bit of background. Mm-hmm. I ran cross country in high school, and I really think that we can almost wipe that from the running history altogether. I wasn't the biggest fan of running in high school. And, you know, those distances are pretty short too. Like, they almost don't count from that perspective. But even if I was very serious about it, you know, I would say we could add that to the resume. But man, I would say anything I could do to get out of cross country in high school. It was not for me. So the official beginning to the running history started in, I think it was 2018, my junior year of college. The first running experience was the Disney Marathon. And the story went something like this, not a runner at all, but as some sort of elaborate plan to make it out to Florida for a winter trip as a break over college. We're like, all right, well, let's do something productive. I'm fairly certain we can convince our parents this is a good idea if we're going to run. There are races. There's a marathon weekend at Disney. There's a 5K. Let's do the 5K. You know, we'll quote unquote train for the 5K. That was our current understanding of of the sport. Everything was sold out. That was the bottom line. And we're like, well, I suppose, you know, how much harder could the marathon really be? And I can tell you now, that was an incorrect line of thinking. We did end up doing it though. We signed up there was a training plan. You know, you can download one straight from Disney. I think Jeff Galloway is Disney coach. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got the run, walk, run method, which at the time was absolutely perfect. That's exactly what we needed as people who literally, I mean, never ran before. So that was my first intro into into running in general. And I will say the fact that we went so slow for the entire race almost played to our benefit. And my reasoning is, you know, I don't do a whole lot of speed work in general. And I think starting out as slow as we did, it was calm and comfortable the whole time. And I would say that if, you know, for a first marathon experience, if I go out there and I am in absolute pain and agony the entire time, I think that's a recipe for disaster. I feel like a lot of people finish the marathon and then they say never again. But when you do it so slow and it's comfortable the whole time, it allowed me to just kind of want to keep going because it wasn't over the top difficult. It was nothing crazy. So yeah, that was my intro into running. And I think it worked out pretty well. I think a lot of people looked at Disney as their first sort of experience, which is a great beginner race.
You said you finished that in 7 hours?
Yeah, it was absolutely the cutoff. Disney's a little bit more lenient with their cutoff. I mean, not, you can't be pushing it too much, but it's not like the Chicago Marathon where they've got like, you know, buses slowly following you at the exact minute per mile pace. Translates to the cutoff. Disney's not far off, but and running it with my cousin, we were on the same page with the current level of fitness at the time. So squeaked it in there.
Did you stop and like talk or get photos with any of the Disney characters?
Oh yeah, there's so much to do. So I don't know what it was at the time, but you run through all four parks Oh my gosh, there's so many people. There's so many people. And it's kind of strange. I was just thinking about this as I was doing the Chicago Marathon. I think it's a similar number of people actually running the race. I had thought that Disney would have been like the same number, like 40,000-ish. I think it's actually 10,000 less, which is fairly significant in terms of the number of people running. But what I hadn't accounted for was the number of people spectating.
Yeah, now, I was going to ask.
There's a lot of people in the city of Chicago, but the Disney parks are just, I mean, flooded with people 24/7. So
are the parks open during that?
Yeah, they are. And that's why, you know, they're a little bit more lenient with the cutoff, but they want you out of there as quickly as possible so that they can resume making money as Disney does. Then that's also why you start at like, man, it's like a 6 a.m. start time over there.
People are like, I just need to get across the...
I'm just trying to get on this ride.
I'm trying to get on that ride over there. Excuse me.
And yeah, that's exactly what it is.
No, I know people that make like Disney is their like that's their running is that they try to run every single Disney race that they can. They do all the dopey challenges or goofy challenges and all that good stuff. So there's
I was just gonna say you can low key turn the Disney Marathon race weekend into a like ultra stage race if you really wanted to. I mean, signing up for all of those, I've never done that. Primarily because whenever I go, I'm running it with like a group. But I gotta imagine that's harder than it sounds.
Oh yeah. Cause each distance is on a different day or time, right? So that way you can technically run each one.
Exactly. They're in succession one day after the other. And it obviously starts slow. So it's like 5K, 10K, and then half marathon. I would imagine where it gets hard, it's got to be like the last 10 miles of that marathon.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, plus it's road, so imagine beating your body up all weekend. Right?
So after that, you said, you know, you got to that finish line, and instead of saying, I will never do another marathon, instead you said, what's next?
Marathon's a hard distance, too, even for people that are like seasoned ultra runners. A marathon is not an easy distance.
Correct.
No, you're right. And so I'll just kind of give a real high level summary. So it was that marathon, Disney Marathon was number one. And then actually the second race I ever ran was the Disney Marathon again. And that was kind of it for a while. Didn't do a whole lot of actual sign up for, you know, sign up on a run sign up or ultra sign up, none of that. My next experience was a 50 miler that I just did outside unsupported. Coming back to the Chicago Marathon here, it is not actually like easier. You think to yourself, it's roughly half the distance of what I did just, you know, a year ago or whatever. And it doesn't really get easier. It's just kind of like the same degree of difficulty. It's just a matter of how long are you doing it for? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of weird. I was expecting it to be a little easier.
And you were telling me that you ran the 50 miler self-supported on your own in 2020, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I did that here in Chicago too. So one of you just mentioned running on pavement. All I do is run on pavement. There is no, there are no trails here. Our lakefront trail is, no, it's pavement. Living in a city, it's all pavement. It is. I find that easier, to be honest. I feel like it's hit or miss. Some people say, you know, it's harder to run on pavement because it's worse for your joints, but I find it a little bit easier. You don't have to be looking down all the time. It's just kind of put the whole thing in autopilot and away you go. Plus, as flat can be here.
And it's convenient too, right? Because some people can just walk out of their front door and start running. You don't have to drive to a trailhead or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And the only reason I was able to, you know, string together enough hours to actually train for that was because it was kind of right when stuff was shutting down for COVID. It was like, well, I've always wanted to do something like this. So, you know, you're not going to get any more time. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
And you used, I'm just going off of, he was telling me some of this other stuff. So that's why just jumping in with fun facts about Tom, that you use 7-Elevens as your aid stations.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, that's based on a recommendation from my cousin. She eats like primarily like Twinkies. for stuff. And she's an avid ultra runner. And she said, the more processed, the better. Trust me.
It's probably a good thing Eve's not on this podcast.
I know. She would be like, hold on. Yeah. No, totally. No, Eve would say whatever works for you.
No,
you
know? I know.
Well, it's just funny because remember Kevin was saying,
yes.
He was like, I go into like a gas station and just
grab all the
chocolate milk and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Wow. I listened to that episode actually.
Oh, really?
Chocolate milk? I don't know about that.
I don't think he does it during the run. I think he does it like
recovery.
After. Yeah, recovery.
Okay.
I don't think he's like downing a thing of like Nesquik, like mid 50 miler or 100 miler. Just chug a gallon of milk, you know?
I'm literally picturing Ron Burgundy with his like milk carton on like 100 degree day.
What was your go-to at the 7-Eleven?
Honestly, it was kind of whatever I was feeling at the moment. Just a variety. Anything goes, to be honest. I was a fan of chips that day.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of literally whatever. Honestly, I think the bigger variety that you can stomach, either in training and then obviously day of, provided that you did it in training, probably the better. You know, obviously, carbohydrates, great. Two thumbs up. Sodium, two thumbs up. No walking out with like a full pizza.
Yeah. Did you have a pre-planned route for that 50 mile? And then also was it like loops or how did you plan that?
Yeah, I did two big 25 mile loops around the city. I started early in the morning so that I wouldn't be going into the evening too much. We did it, that would have been early October. So the sun was up pretty much the whole day. I did get to see the sunrise, which is actually pretty cool. My twin brother came down to do part of it with me. The thought was, okay, if I'm running 50 miles, you can bike 50 miles, right? I have since actually biked 50 miles or more, and the answer is absolutely not.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's something completely separate that you got to train for, but that was the thought. Didn't matter. The bike essentially like broke in half. Mile two of 50. So he went and chilled in my apartment and I just finished my loop.
Finished.
Oh my gosh.
I did a 50K in 2020 on the road and I thought that was insane. I can't even imagine 50 miles. That's impressive.
And where did you do that by you?
Yeah, I did it. Actually, it was for Tommy's Bigger Than the Trail block party.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been in what, May?
Yeah, it's usually in May.
Yeah, I just thought, it was COVID and weird times. I thought, I'll just do it around my neighborhood, raise a bunch of money for Bigger Than the Trail. But even now I'm like, man, I don't know if I'd ever do a 50K on the road again. And here you are like, hey, I did 50 miles in Chicago. Super impressive.
No, really? That's interesting to me. So in your opinion then, what is it for you that makes it more difficult to run on road? Maybe I'm thinking it's just a matter of what you get used to. Like,
yes.
There is zero chance that I could run a 50 miler, at least not with primarily preparing for it on trails, but I'm thinking the exact opposite thought to myself right now.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. I mean, if I, cause I primarily run on trails, so I'm sure if I switched it up and ran on roads all the time, then roads would be comfortable. And I agree with you too. You know, it is nice cause you can kind of just zone out. It's kind of mindless. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about rocks and all that kind of stuff.
And you do get to kind of keep a consistent pace with trails. You're slowing down on the up and then speeding up on the down.
Yep.
And then, depending on terrain and everything else, you're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
plus I do like running roads. You know, a lot of people talk about trails with, being out in nature and seeing all the sights of the mountains and things like that, which is great. But I also love running in the city or in neighborhoods because you do see a lot there too. So I can only imagine Chicago. That'd be cool.
Oh yeah. Especially if you have a nice cityscape and everything.
Yeah.
I train on roads like during the week and then like weekends when I can get out to the trails is when I do trails. So
yeah, nice mix.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree exactly that it just depends on everyone likes what they like. And
yeah,
and
how you train your
trail
body.
Runners that are like, I could never run on roads again, or road runners who are like, I just can't do trail.
Yep. You know?
So it's just whatever you prefer. And then some people that can't chug a gallon of milk on their run, or
some do
can't eat chips from 7-Eleven. You know,
some drink beer and eat nachos, and some
beer and pizza. Javelina. Yeah.
Yep.
just a little bit of everything, you know?
Yeah. Right. So after that, after you did the 50 miler, your next race was the Chicago Marathon?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's not that. That's 2018 to now. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's not that long of a time period. Maybe, I guess, one event a year-ish.
It sounds like a very healthy balance and schedule that we're not really used to hearing. So
usually
good
it's
on
like,
you
well, I did the 250 and then I did the 152 weeks later. Exactly. Kevin.
I mean, you know, in the moment it feels way too spread out. Like I would have told you that I needed to do more, but I would imagine you're right. Like that's probably better. And it's not like I'm not running in between those times, right? It's just kind of like, you have one all out a race more or less. I'm still not running for pace, but it's probably better to not be doing, you know, excessive event type runs that often, I guess, because, you know, when we go, I say we, Jenny and myself, our long run coffee crew, when we go to races and we brew coffee, like in an aid station or the start, I'm seeing a lot of the same people and I'm like, man, that's impressive.
Well, that's absolutely out here. The same, like, you'll see the same people at the same races. And even if you just make friends because you're just like, oh, yeah, we've been at the same races and just talking about what other races we're doing and what races we've done. well, that's a great segue, though. So Long Run Coffee, when did you start that? And, like, how did that come about?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have sort of like an origin story for you. It's not exactly when we started selling the product, but the idea came around sort of this past winter of 2022. I find that I spend the most time thinking about endurance athletics when I can't actually do it. So let me give you an example. Some sort of injury. I don't know if either of you have been, you know, injured for any sort of,
100%.
When Eve is listening to this, she's just going to laugh.
Yeah.
She's like, that have they ever been injured?
That was
the
most like perfect thing I've ever heard was when he said, that's when he thinks about it the most is when he can't do it. Cause that's so fucking true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I imagine most of the people listening to this have said to themselves, even if it's not like a crazy injury, right. It's like, okay, I have to take 1 month off. I have to take 2 months off. You know, 8 weeks for me is usually my baseline time off from some form of injury, whether it be a stress fracture or, you know, something else. But during that time, I just kind of get a little stir crazy and you just spend your time thinking about it, but it's not always the same context. It's not always like, I want to go run and that's all I'm thinking about. Certainly that's there, but it's like, how do I make this a bigger part of my life beyond just going outside and running? You know, going outside and running is great. I don't want to get rid of that anytime soon. But I find myself in those moments wondering, gosh, I've never had a passion before and it feels great. I would love to be able to use it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that was kind of just like an underlying thought. I never set out and said to myself, you know, I want to do something and just try to, you know, dig up ideas of something that might stick. No, not really. It was more of just this kind of underlying drive to want to do more. And then one weekend, Jenny and myself, we were visiting my parents back home in Wisconsin, and we were cooking breakfast. I don't know what it was. Maybe like pancakes, some recipe called for salt. And I'm a big consumer of salt. I would imagine you probably are as well. Yes. I think everybody that we would talk to knows why that is, why it's good for you, why it's needed. And so I consume a lot of it. You know, when you go for a run, you come back, it's like there's physical salt deposits left on your earbuds or sunglasses, something.
Or just all over.
That's or just crazy. Wear a black shirt and then you'll see how much you sweat salt out.
My black hats are just like white from salt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. And so anyways, we're cooking breakfast, recipe calls for salt. I've got salt in one hand, coffee in the other. And I'm like, you know what? I'm definitely going to do this. I know that we add salt to recipes, any sort of food, sometimes even beverages, to make flavors kind of like pop a little bit. You know what I mean? It's meant to bring out flavors in cooking.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Why don't I just toss a little in? It's got to be good, right? If it just makes flavors more pronounced, I like coffee, you know? Let's give it a whirl. Oh, it was so bad.
I was going to say, how was adding a teaspoon of salt to your coffee?
Yeah, was this like table salt? Was this like sea salt? Like, what are we talking about?
This was the saltiest of salt. It was pink Himalayan sea salt.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good salt.
There was no measurement going on here. That's for sure.
It's like chunky, salty coffee.
Yeah. It's like gritty.
Gritty. Yeah.
So that first experiment sounded like it went well.
It was just a prototype. It was, yeah.
Right. So then
not meant to be formalized into a product form, but there was an idea there, mm-hmm. you know? And I liked the way it sounded, and it seemed to me like it was the perfect marriage of two things that I loved, and it doesn't need to be multi-million dollar company, right? It just needed to be some form of expression for me to kind of become more involved mm-hmm. with the community. And that this was my way of doing that. So kind of started to look around a little bit more. Nothing crazy, you know? I mean, you can achieve this kind of stuff with Google. Literally has the world's information at your fingertips. So started looking around at, you know, how could you add salt to coffee? Is it actually a thing that people have done? And upon Googling it, I was actually kind of surprised. There were a lot of articles recommending that you do that. And not for the reason that I would have thought. It basically, they just say, oh, it reduces the bitterness. And that's it. Move on. Just a pinch, you know. But being a type A individual, as we all are, want to get that narrowed down to an actual measurement, especially for the purposes of, you know, making a product that you can enjoy with other people and give to other people. So salt, of course, not the only thing we add. We add the other electrolytes, calcium, magnesium, and potassium. Mm-hmm. And we actually, so, you know, as opposed to that first iteration with the pink Himalayan sea salt, we use sodium bicarbonate now. Mm-hmm. And all of those ingredients are actually what's used to make alkaline water, which I wasn't aware of when I first started doing this. But it actually makes a lot of sense. It just, it you know, smooths out the flavor of the coffee. It's more pH basic. It's not as acidic in your stomach. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have tried it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
And that's a good point on the kind of leveling it out. So it's not as acidic, because I love my coffee and drink, like I said, too much of it. And then it can sit on my stomach and then I go for a run and I'm like, that was a little too much. But doing that seems to help. Like, it doesn't irritate the stomach as much. Still does its thing, as coffee does.
Does its thing.
It does its thing in the morning. But it's not as it doesn't leave you, I don't want to say as full, but it doesn't leave you feeling like, oof.
Oh, yeah, but like, how do you guys infuse it into the coffee? Like, how's that process go?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's simpler than you think. It's essentially just adding it. So if you buy a ground coffee product, which I think is probably what you guys have had, mm-hmm. It's essentially just ground throughout the coffee.
Okay.
And we tested this, and this was really a good idea. We made sure that all of those four electrolytes will pass through a coffee filter. So mm-hmm. you can do this at home with just salt that you have on hand. I don't know how you guys make your coffee. I use just a standard percolator here. So paper filter, you know, water goes in the back of the tank, turn on, boom, you know, away the brewing process goes. But for me, testing this was making sure that all four of those elements will pass through the paper filter and essentially make it into the final product. Mm-hmm.
How do you know that they did?
Well, so when you're done brewing, let it sit there for a while. The paper filter dries out. There's nothing left in.
Okay. All right. So it's as simple as looking and just seeing if it went through or not.
Yeah, that's essentially it. And, you know, generally speaking, the paper filters actually collect more than some of those reusable ones, like the mesh plastic ones.
Yeah.
You really should be good. I'd be hard pressed to find a method that doesn't do that. And if you think about French pressed. I mean, there's essentially no filter. And that's like there is when you push it down, but you know, it's all stewing in the same fluid. So it's kind of just one of those things where it's, I'm not a hardcore food scientist. Things are just kind of aligning really well. The flavors, the electrolytes that we add enhance the flavor, kind of smooths everything out. You end up with a pH basic product. You got the electrolytes. That was really the main point of it in the first place was this is for endurance athletes. Things are just kind of, it just worked out into a really well-rounded product.
That's cool. You say you're not a scientist, but I have this picture in my head of you, like that first time when you dumped salt in your coffee and like an idea just popped, like this grand creation, like
salt in one hand, coffee in the other. Oh my God.
Mad scientist.
Like the first person who was like chocolate and then peanut butter.
Yeah.
There's an idea here. And I do want to mention though, like for the coffee connoisseurs out there, that you do have a whole bean option too. You described it to me kind of like those, like roasted peanuts almost, that it has the electrolytes on each bean?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you buy whole bean coffee and you grind it yourself, or maybe you grind it in your coffee maker itself, it's essentially the same process. So when you buy the whole bean product, it's coated throughout the bean. You're exactly right. It looks like honey roasted peanuts when it's ground into your... So if you have a top loading coffee maker, mm-hmm. where you add the beans to the top, it grinds it through, adds it, you know, just collects in the filter, you're going to get the same exact process. I, for one, am a fan of whole bean coffee in particular. I find that it just has that little it factor, so that, you know, it's a fresher grind. And so you're getting that, it's just a much fresher cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. I don't honestly know, to be honest with you, what it is that's going on with coffee at the grocery store when you buy it pre-ground. Maybe it's just a matter of having it sit on the shelf for so long, but it definitely has a different taste than whole bean coffee. When we do our ground coffee here, I kind of wanted to stay away from that altogether. And our way of doing it is essentially grinding it once it's ordered.
So someone orders it, you grind it, and then send it on its way.
That's correct.
Awesome. Even when it's ground, it's still fresh as possible. Yeah.
I think, you know, we talked to someone, this is a while back ago, but this is me just like pulling stuff out my ass on what I think.
From the memory banks.
Yeah. But I think he was mentioning that it dries out, and that like when you have the beans, there's still like the oils and stuff from the beans. And so that's what kind of helps lend itself to
you can taste it though. Better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrible. Most grocery store ground coffee, mm-hmm. even some of the whole bean coffee is pretty bad. So mm-hmm. it was a nice treat when we got to taste your coffee because it was definitely super fresh.
And you also have different roasts, light roast, medium roast, dark roast too. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah. Oh,
it's like, who's your favorite child?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, child is, we all have the favorite child.
My kids are in the background, so I can't say that right now.
It is astonishing to me how many conversations I've had with people and they ask that question. And I am always, why am I always surprised to get that question? Like that would be the first thing I ask also. And I'm always like, oh, they asked that. Oh no. Now I got to pick one. I'm going to have to go with the dark roast. It literally depends on the day.
Is that because of the flavor?
Yeah, they do have different flavors. The light roast, to me, it's kind of just, it's such a personal thing.
Yeah.
I would describe it as nuttier. The general way that I've seen people describe it is more floral. Now, I'm not getting floral. When I hear the word floral, I'm thinking fruity.
Yeah.
And that just isn't it for me. I find it has like a nuttier taste. And I really like the light roast. The dark roast is a little bit more robust. Mm-hmm. It depends on the day. I will say though, here next to me is our flavored coffees. The banana is so good. I've never been one for flavored coffees. In general, you know, if I'm like at the grocery store historically and I get like, I don't know, a vanilla flavored coffee, it always sounds amazing in the moment. And then I brew it and it's good. Don't get me wrong. But the next day I want to go back to my normal.
Yeah.
you know, my normal black coffee. This banana one, I don't know what's going on with this, but it is insanely good. You both have to try it.
Oh yeah,
I'm up for it for sure. Banana, and it's just like, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's for another podcast. I don't know if you've heard of the pre-race podcast.
Yeah, I've heard
of
it.
So yeah.
The thing is, they, you know, his name is Adam. He interviews people the week before their event. You know, that something I have noticed recently, or at least been thinking to myself, is the podcasts, especially for the running industry, I feel like you guys, none of you are competing with each other. So I listen to the We Run the Desert podcast, and I feel like it's just a group of friends.
Yeah. And we've had, you know, we've had people from other podcasts. We've done like joint podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can name a lot of, you know, I don't know if you want to call it an industry or it's not a business, but I don't know if you can really think of that many cases where people that create the same thing, but under two different names or two different brands, they're not actually competing with each other. They just make each other better. So when I listen to running podcasts, I don't just say to myself, you know what, I love We Run the Desert podcast, and therefore that's all I'm listening to. No, it's actually kind of the opposite. One great podcast gets me into it, and then I just listen to a bunch of them.
Then it's a rabbit hole.
You all make each other better.
I really think that speaks to the running community as well. Like, you know what I mean? Just the people in general, super willing to help each other out and be supportive. There's always competition, obviously, with races and things, but you know, it's, you set an FKT and then someone wants to beat it. You might be the one to pace them to beat you. And then you go out again to, you know, that's just how it is.
Well, and I think too, it's just, you know, at least our goal always just about sharing stories and, you know, sharing that community with the community, because as we have always said, you know, a lot of people don't realize like all the huge running community that Arizona has. So we were just like, yeah, let's get together and share it.
The literal goal was just, hey, we already are going to have these conversations with people, so why don't we just record it so everyone can hear the conversation? Absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I would agree with you. I think it is something that's a little bit more unique to, you know, distance runners. And I think part of the reason for that might be the fact that they're, you know, people who create something around their passion of running, it's usually not for money.
Right.
And a big reason for that is there's not a lot of money in the running industry to begin with. but really, I mean, in the context of what we're talking about, that's really a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too, because then you kind of stay grounded and it kind of keeps its tight-knit niche, so to speak.
Now, a quick break from our sponsor. I'm kidding. buy MeUndies whatever. Like every podcast is just like MeUndies.
Athletic Greens.
Wait. What's the other one? Razor.
The Inside Tracker is the big one for me.
Oh, yeah. Inside Tracker.
The Dollar Shave Club. That's it. Dollar Shave Club. Oh, and then there's the, what's that razor called? I can't think of it. The guys, Manscaped, that's it.
Oh, Manscaped. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Here's a tangent.
Yeah.
Brought to you by We Run the Desert.
Brought to you by We Run the Desert, not sponsored. One day we will be sponsored by Peeps. And Chris will love that.
I saw you guys just launched hats too.
Oh, hat?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now that is, that is paid, but that's for our Patreon subscribers. And we did that just because we have a lot of requests for swag, but as you know, swag costs some money. Yeah. And so that's literally the only way that we can like ship it to people and everything else and be able to cover that cost, because we don't have ads, we don't have sponsors. Yeah. So
not only that, but it's quality merch.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than having.
Yeah. I mean, if it was crappy quality, we'd be like, yeah, sure, you can have it for free, you know.
It'll last 2 months, but you know,
right? And we're three people that work normal 9-to-5 for the most part, and you do have families, and I have other stuff going on, so it's
busy,
like,
man. This is our hobby. This is what we enjoy doing.
Yeah. So but we can't not announce that we did create a community blend with Long Run Coffee that's now available as of this podcast release.
Yeah.
So if you want to support We Run the Desert, you can go and buy some coffee from longruncoffee.com. We're under the community tab. And there's other community brands on there as well, such as Bigger Than the Trail that we were talking about earlier. And essentially, you can get the whole bean coffee, you can get ground coffee, light roast, dark roast, medium roast. And you can also decide if you're just like, I don't want the electrolytes, I just want normal coffee. That's okay too. You can choose that as well. And you choose all of that when you check out.
Yeah. And I got to share this because I thought it was hilarious. Jeremy sent me the picture of the bag of coffee today. And I was like, oh man, this is so cool. Like our podcast is on a coffee. Like this is awesome. And like, to me, that's just super cool. And it speaks mm-hmm. to our relationship with people in the community. And my son goes, wow, you've really made it big now that you're on coffee. You have your own coffee. I was like, yeah, that's perspective, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And we call it a community blend because that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just out there supporting, we're supporting Long Run Coffee, and then our community members can support us and Long Run Coffee at the same time.
I'm pretty stoked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty true to form, kind of what we were just talking about. Like it's our way of just connecting with each other. And, you know, it's going to be a weekly ritual for me now, you know, brew the We Run Desert podcast coffee and listen to the new episode.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
No, we love it. And, you know, I'm sure we'll, you know, there's lots of opportunities in the new year to do some cool stuff together. So excited about that.
Can this be considered seasoned water? Can coffee be yes.
Well, this would be considered seasoned coffee.
Seasoned coffee?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Season your coffee with electrolytes with Long Run Coffee. Brought to you by We Run the Desert. go check it out. We'll link it to episode, and we'll tag and everything on social. But speaking of, definitely go check out Long Run Coffee on Instagram, social media. And do you have Facebook as well? Or just Insta?
Man, I tell you, we do have Facebook. I'm only 25, and Facebook for me is like, I don't know what I'm doing. How is this so complicated for me?
That's all right.
It's there. You can follow. You can like the page. I'm not on it much, to be honest. It's primarily Instagram at this point. Sorry to save out the Facebook stuff.
Are you on... Wait, do I see that you're on TikTok?
Yeah, we are.
Oh my gosh. He's like, I don't understand Facebook
but I'm on TikTok.
You guys are here. I'm going to follow right now. Sorry.
Feeling fucking old today.
Right? We're both like, oh, only 25 and you don't understand it. But yeah, TikTok. It's like, yeah. Oh yeah, but that's easy. Like,
are you on MySpace at all?
what was before? I guess MySpace was...
It's like AOL Instant
Messenger.
I was
on MySpace. Oh yeah, AIM. Oh yeah. My God. Yeah, that was the... And the
all right, we're dating ourselves way too much.
Right? Half of the listeners would be like, I don't even know what they're talking
about.
Talking about
these old fucks,
older millennials. That's what we are.
Oh shit.
So what are the plans for Long Run Coffee in 2023?
Yeah, we're looking ahead to different races. So far, you know, kind of looking back on the past year, what has been for me, like, what's going to be the best or biggest memory that I have from the year? I think it's going to be going to the races. Mm-hmm. So Jenny and I, we went to the 10 Junk Miles races, and then we hung out with Ornery Mule just a couple of weekends ago at the Hennepin 100. And those are just phenomenal experiences. Eventually, I want to be running these too, but working them, super fun. And you know what? Now I don't have to run 100 miles. but I think those are some of the best experiences I've had. So, you know, already looking forward to Cocodona. We've punched our ticket there, going to go brew some coffee at the aid stations. That for me is a drive. It's a hell of a drive. So the plan is to rent one of those vans that you can like live in.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Every runner's dream.
Right? Some people do that. Some people exactly. have a van they live
yeah.
in.
Yeah. We're going to live the dream for a week. I think it's going to be a great vacation or, you know, workcation. Whatever. But doing those kinds of events for me is some of the most gratifying. We'll look to do more of those, make it out to Arizona as much as possible, do some local ones, and everyone can just keep their eye out. Maybe we'll come to a race near you sometime soon.
You guys are going to have a blast at Cocodona. And for our listeners, if you guys are going to be out at Cocodona, Definitely check out Long Run Coffee. And then also, you guys, you should for sure look into Javelina at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be a fantastic event.
And you can be right there.
I have heard a lot about it, for sure. And you know what's weird to me is, so when I first heard about Cocodona, everyone was talking about it like it's been around for a million years.
Yeah.
And then I was... I was surprised to see, it's like, oh no, this was the first year.
Oh yeah,
that's just because
how did they build the brand so fast?
It's Aravaipa, and you know Aravaipa has its reputation here, not just in Arizona.
Yeah, they're growing too.
They're growing so big that like it's got they have their own name for themselves. So as soon as they launched like a new big event like that, it blew up because they were like, oh, we got to do this.
Yeah. You know? And when you're out there for 5 days, you feel like you've lived a lifetime. So that's probably why.
Oh, for sure. Well, looking forward to definitely catching up with you at Cocodona at some point. If we're not at an aid station when you're out there, hopefully we can connect before or after.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on, Tom.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This is a blast.
Well, we look forward to catching up with you again soon on all the awesome stuff that you've been up to. But in the meantime, everyone, go check out Long Run Coffee, longruncoffee.com. Go grab yourself a We Run the Desert blend. And thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of We Run the Desert podcast.